In the book of Deuteronomy, we read, "The eternal God is our dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." In John's gospel, Jesus responded by saying, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus looks at the crowd and he begins to speak. And he surprises the crowd with these words, "Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us true faith and a sure hope. Strengthen this faith and this hope within us, that we may live believing in the communion of saints, in the forgiveness of sins, and yes, resurrection to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to join me in singing our first hymn. It's found as number 664 in these hymn books, the Voices United, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And as you're able, please stand. Be seated. As we've discussed here before, the word eulogy means simply good talk. And so we're about to engage in some good talk. And I'd like to invite Jake and Bob to come on up.
Hello all, my name is Bob Bartel. I'm Gladwin's oldest boy. Well, I guess I'm not a boy anymore, but sometimes I kind of wish I was. I'd like to thank you all for coming to paying respects at my father's celebration of life. I really think that he would like it to celebrate it, as it was a long and a life full of adventure, actually, I'm quite sure. He left home with his brother, right here, this fella, early in his manhood, moving west to the city. I think a pretty big step for a couple of Mennonite farm boys, and I think probably pretty exciting to boot. Learning to dance, went to the city, learned to dance, and I know that'd be pretty much out of my comfort zone, and kind of think the two of us are sort of the same that way. I know he's musically inclined, so maybe it'd probably come pretty easy to him. As a kid, I always knew he liked to dance. Mom and Dad liked to dance all the time, but it wasn't until I was a young man and I would go out to a community function to dance, and Dad and Audrey would show up, and they never left the floor all night long, just whisking around like it was second nature to them. I'm not sure when he got the notion to fly, but he decided he wanted to be a pilot and got his pilot's license. He used to take me out flying, doing stalls and spins and stuff like that. I guess that was part of training, but I know it sure was pretty exciting for a boy. I'd love to go flying with my dad. That time in his life, he used to hang around with kind of the bush pilot crowd in Fort St. John. And he used to take off and go to remote lakes and rivers, go fishing, and well, he never really hunted, but it was quite a thing. Come home with some good stories about things that happened on his trips, and he would even arrange private flights for his father-in-law, my grandpa, and go to these things on his own. Well, I guess it wouldn't be too private because grandpa always had to take a couple kids with him. It seemed like, but sure was a good memories for us, and I know my grandpa really loved it. Dad traveled the world too. You know, I'm pretty sure that he put his foot on every continent on this planet, even the South Pole. You know, so that's you know, quite an achievement actually, and pretty good adventures, and a lot of stuff that a lot of places that he went. I don't even know actually. And let's not forget, he raised two families. I mean, if that's not an adventure, I don't know what an adventure is. However, I do feel my dad may have struggled with pride, but I sure know that if he ever got too full of himself, the life seemed to come down and knock the humility back into him, either by losing a wife to cancer or something less devastating, just a simple economic recession or something, just put him in a poorhouse for a while. But, you know, his good nature, his optimism, he always seemed to get on his feet. Probably with the help of finding a good woman like Audrey, too. He always seemed to come up ahead and keep on smiling. And smile is one thing that you can see from that picture. That's the way I hope everybody remembers him. Hard not to feel a little pride, though. You know, he took it upon himself. He felt responsible and was successful in providing jobs for people to feed their families, and he did that very successfully in Fort St. John. And well, I don't think he did it here, but in Fort St. John, he had two different businesses that both him and my uncle were involved. That was one thing that they wanted to do, was make sure that they always had a job for someone. And then having brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces, doing missionary and volunteer work all over the world for the underprivileged, you know, and Audrey going annually to Mexico to help build houses for the poor. I mean, it's pretty hard not to have that little bit of pride going on. Sometimes I heard people refer to Dad as cheap. Well, I like to call it thrifty, and you know. He might have come by that nature, by that quality And I call it a quality, honestly, because when he was a kid, he was out doing work at a very young age to try and help the family. So, you know, maybe the value of money made him that little bit of thrifty. But in all honesty, I think my dad was a very generous man. He was always involved in a community service of one sort or another. And I know that as his children, if we ever needed him, he was always there for us. I certainly couldn't ask for a better father. He never judged us on our mistakes or our misgivings. He gave us sound, practical advice, and we always knew he was there for us. He instilled in us a good work ethic. He taught us to be non-judgmental, no prejudice to race, religion, social status. He gave us a good knowledge of right and wrong, encouraging our independence by giving us the opportunity to make our own mistakes and learn from them. And most important, he taught us the importance of love. Love for all and love for yourself. I will really miss him. But, you know, we all should be encouraged. He had a full life. And he passed in his own bed with no pain beside the woman he loved. So I hope that we celebrate his life and not really mourn that much. Thank you again for all coming here.
Thank you, Bob. Well, Bob, that was very good. That reminded me of my brother. I'm his brother, Jake. And when I go over my notes here, we go back to 86 years. Our relationship started the day I was born, 3 years approximately after him. He was my closest friend, closest and first brother, and that day I became his first brother. I imagine he was about the third person I encountered in my life. It would be my mother, who was a young bride, and her lover, husband, the romantic father of mine. And then I imagine that after she showed him to Dad, then who else but her 3-year-old son? So I claim to be his oldest friend. But my son told me that I should just relax and let it happen.
Good advice.
Until his last day, when I sat with him at his home for a few hours. A few days ago. We were close brothers all our lives. As teenage boys, winter lumber camp in eastern Manitoba, summer harvest in western Manitoba. We each had riding horses, 6 brothers, 3 sisters, devoted and romantic parents, and it made for almost a perfect, exciting memories. Our grandfather's favorite Bible verse, which he quoted every Thanksgiving, was, "We have a goodly heritage," came up every Thanksgiving. Gladwin was also his first grandson, and I'd say maybe his favorite one. On his last day here, I sat with him for an hour or two. We sat together in his home, not talking much, but we did communicate. I'm not nervous. This shouldn't happen. I think he recognized me and communicated, but it seemed almost time to shut down, which happened later on that day. He had an itchy skin, and he tried to scratch his beard and his shoulders, and every once in a while he'd say, "Oh, mensch, oh, mensch, oh, mensch," an expression our dad used a lot in our youth. And it came out clear as a bell. The word mensch stuck in my mind. So when I got home, we looked it up. The word mensch is a Yiddish-German word which sort of explains where Dad, where Glad use of his life was. Mensch means a person of integrity and honor, someone with to admire, with character, tender, loving-hearted. This pretty well describes Gladwin, the way he handled himself. So, I think of my mensch brother, Gladwin. You're my mensch in my memory, and I'm keeping you there till I see you again. Bon voyage till we meet again. All my love, Jake. Thank you.
Come with me. You're going to take me down?
I'm going to take you down.
Good. Go for it.
Okay.
You're taller. You got to go first.
It is my privilege to read the passage of Scripture this morning, and this is a favorite passage of Scripture of Gladwin. It is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Amen. We'd ask you to stand now to sing hymn number 357, 357, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
I'm
three thoughts to begin. First, thanks to you, Bob and Jake, for your words about Gladwin. It wasn't just your memories of the man that were striking to me. There was something of Gladwin's presence in your presentations, and I find some comfort in that, so a special thank you. Second, to you, Audrey, and to Gladwin's family, I offer you the sympathies of this congregation and of the larger community. To state what I guess is obvious, he was a one-of in many ways. Gladwin Bartell was, in my estimation, one truly fine human being, someone who is loved and respected in this community, and so he will be much missed. And so I'd like you to know that you've been in my prayers and you will stay in my prayers in the days to come. Third thing. While I know we are absolutely correct in doing this because it's wholly appropriate that we be doing some celebrating today, it wouldn't be honest if I at least didn't acknowledge some of our sadness. Having been doing this thing that I get to do for a while now, and having observed and experienced and been a part of this complicated event that's the ending of life, I've come to believe that few, if any of us, really are ready to say goodbye to someone that we love. And the circumstances don't often make much actual difference to our feeling that way. If someone dies suddenly, or if death has been long expected, a few of us don't wish we could hold on to them for at least just a little bit longer. Even when we see death coming as a friend, even when it ends suffering, I find there's still a part of me anyway that hopes it's a bad dream and then we'll just wake up and everything will be normal again. I suspect that's part of our nature. We just want to hang on to them for just a bit longer. And I suspect that this is no less true today, because despite Gladwin's good age and rich life, there's also a bit of just a bit longer at play today. At least that's true for me anyhow. So I just want to acknowledge up front that it's an odd and complicated time we find ourselves as we try to struggle with sad and thankful at the same time. I have no small amount of affection for the hymns that we're singing this afternoon. They're really, really familiar to me, and I expect for some here, if not most of you, they have been part of my life's spiritual soundtrack. I have no doubt that they were no less old favorites of those in the congregation I grew up in now some six decades ago. The one we just sang, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, I remember it well from my tenure as a member of the junior boys choir under the loving tutelage of our choir mistress, Miss Jacobson, who for some reason scared me to death. I met her years later, and she was lovely. It's one of a category of songs which was purposely written to teach. 130 years ago, it was first used as a children's hymn. Though I should say it soon became a standard hymn for adults as well. Its selection for this afternoon reminded me that singing hymns is one of the powerful ways that we in the church gently learn the Christian story. Though I would say it's usually helpful to be a little discerning, because sometimes the old, old story is a bit more complicated than we think. I was recently listening to a well-respected New Testament professor respond to a comment about Jesus' career as a carpenter, and he offered a very good-natured, well, sort of. It seems that the word used in the Bible that gets translated as carpenter, it's found in Mark's gospel, it's actually a bit ambiguous. And while it can mean carpentry, it's a word that's general enough to also be translated as craftsman or builder or contractor. Certainly most of the kind of carpentry that Jesus would likely have done would have been fine work, you know, furniture and the like. A part of the reason for that is there simply isn't and wasn't a lot of wood in the area of Galilee. Stone was the more common building material. And this came to mind when I began to ponder what I might say about our brother Gladwin this afternoon, simply because, well, there's not one doubt that Gladwin was a builder. And he was a pretty fair carpenter. First time I ever set foot in the Bartell home here, I'm pretty sure he was doing something in the shop, because he loved to work with wood. We'd actually done this before, but last week I asked Audrey to show me around the house to remind me of the furniture that Gladwin had either built or refinished, and there's no shortage of both of those things in the house. And he did really, really fine work. In fact, when I stopped to think about Gladwin, he was pretty much always in the business of making things. He loved to create, to build, to make stuff. And as we read in the obituary that's in the bulletin, he spent his life doing just that over countless projects around this country. His fingerprints were even on our sound booth at the back of the sanctuary. And of course, we were also beneficiaries here of his baking and cooking skills. So I might as well explain the one misadventure we know about. Okay, so like Gladwin used to bake for us for a variety of things. And one of his standards was a kind of a coffee cake. And so he made the cake and threw in, I think it was some butterscotch chippets to make it just a little tangier. So he sends it along to the church with Audrey. Later on, she gets home and he says, any comments about the coffee cake? No. He said, they weren't chippets. They were bacon bits. He loved to build. I love that. One thing I know is that none of our lives can be adequately summed up or described in the short time we have to here today on occasions like this, because our lives are always so rich, and especially for someone in their 90th year. So I'm especially aware of that challenge this afternoon. And I guess I'm particularly conscious of this today because I am, and well, I guess I'll always be very fond of Gladwin. That's hardly unique in this room, I know. But I'm painfully aware that whatever I say is not enough to express adequately either his accomplishments and qualities or my attachment to him, because he was just such a neat guy. As also noted in the obit, I got to go and golf with him over the years, and that was great fun. I have absolutely no real memory of his game, and I purposely avoid thinking about my own, but I have really fond memories of walking with him and chatting and hearing stories and opinions, and of course there's lots of laughter. In fact, I have the strong sense that the actual game was mostly just a pretense for the far more important activity of hanging out. There may have been a good shot or two, but mostly it was about friendship, it was social, and it's as plain to me as the nose on my face that he was as social as could be. He was quite comfortable with his own company, but he really liked good company. And relationships mattered to him. In fact, as I think back to it, the best part of our rounds of golf were normally lunch. And what made that so enjoyable was the conversation over the table. I got to hang out with a guy who was very funny, had a great sense of humor, who loved to laugh. I think the picture on the bulletin is perfect. He had this self-deprecating sense of humor, and so he was fun to be with. And lots of different things made him laugh. He was smart as a whip. He was curious about all sorts of stuff, and knowledgeable about all manner of things that surprised me. It was obvious that Gladwin was strongly principled. He had a most serious side, and he was not, as we say, without opinion. I would describe Gladwin as a person of character, someone who practiced courtesies. And I knew that he was someone who could be trusted. whose friendship was deep. It would run really deep. Whose loyalty could be counted upon. But it would also be an honest relationship, because authentic friendship demands speaking the truth. And honesty mattered to Gladwin. I would dare say, and I've heard other people say this, so it's not much of a dare. There was much of the gentleman about him. It wasn't long after first meeting him, now more than 2 decades ago, that I realized that in a rather quiet way, he was very strong. And interestingly, that strength was complemented by an inherent gentleness. For amidst that strength, I was aware that he was someone who felt things deeply, who was passionate, who had a great heart for community and connectedness, and his affection for family. That was palpable. He so loved his family, which means he loved a lot, because there's so many of you. I know I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him because he was a really fine man. Someone whom I'm honored to have called my friend. He and I, surprising no one, I suspect, had more than a few conversations about matters religious. Strangely enough, that's a regular occurrence in my line of work. Who knew? Anyway, I have no doubts about Gladwin's faith, though I should say that he did not get the award for most consistent Sunday morning attender. But when he did, he was easy to pick out when he was here because he always wore a suit and tie. But I need to say he played a consistent role in supporting the ministry of this congregation. For that, we are thankful. And he was indeed a person of long and deep faith. He trusted God. So when Audrey indicated she would like Psalm 121 read this afternoon, thank you, Dale. It made a whole bunch of sense to me. Psalm 121 is a psalm for the journey. It's a psalm for the journey. Psalm 121 is one of a group of 15 psalms referred to as the songs of ascents, or the songs of going up, the songs of climbing. And in biblical times, they'd be sung by pilgrims going up to Jerusalem and to the temple. It was Psalm 121 that was sung in the evening when the mountains leading to Jerusalem were in sight. And they'd sing it as they prepared to lay down to rest on the last evening before their arrival. So Jerusalem was in sight, and they would sing this and lay down to rest. Is that a good song for today? And I love the way it begins. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The author, traditionally understood to be David, is reminded of God, by God by the sight of the hills in front of him. And the Hebrew grammar in this passage indicates that David's asking, really rhetorically, does my help come from the hills? And then he answers himself, no, no, no. My help comes from God. God's always overwatching me, and God even watches me when I sleep, because God never takes his eye off us, because God never sleeps. Now, that beginning is powerful, but the conclusion is, I think, even more powerful. In the last verse, the writer declares God's faithfulness, and it's a faithfulness that is eternal. The psalmist saying, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. This is a God who never stops caring for his people from this time on and forevermore. Forever. That means even in death. I would say especially in death. God stands with us and will not let us go. I don't pretend to understand this in detail. The biblical references are not as clear as I'd like. And there's no small amount of mystery about how it all works.
that it works. What isn't obscure, what's assured to us over and over and over in the biblical story, is that God's got something in mind for his people beyond this life. Heaven, a whole new heaven and earth. And so I have lots of confidence that our brother Gladden didn't just cease to be last week, but rather that God has got him close. The Apostle Paul famously wrote this to the congregation in Philippi. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which I prefer. I'm hard pressed between the two. But then he concludes, my desire is to depart and to be with Christ. So it's our faith in this place and others like it, well, that we know where Gladwin is. He's with Christ. He is with Jesus. And can you think of a better place to be? Which means, despite our sadness, we can actually celebrate with great gusto this afternoon. We can do this with conviction because we have assurance that Gladwin's not so much left us, but as I heard Jake say, he's gone on ahead. So we celebrate, we dare to celebrate. Celebrate all that was good and kind and loving in him. And there was lots and lots of that. And we look forward to the day when, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be reunited. And until that time, we say, Godspeed, friend. Godspeed, Gladwin. May God grant you peace. Amen. I understand we have some folks who are going to offer up some music. Come on up.
No matter what happens tomorrow, souls had a change of release. Heaven, happy home above, heaven, land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on.
Heaven,
supernal,
heaven,
eternal.
Makes me want to preach, which is good, and that's a good. Someone's going to read a poem, I believe.
Hi, guys. A branch has fallen.
A branch has fallen from the family tree.
I keep hearing that saying, grieve not for me.
Remember the best times, the laughter, the song.
The good life I lived while I was strong.
Continue my heritage, I'm counting on you.
Keep smiling and sure the sun will shine through.
My mind is at ease, my soul is at rest.
Remember me all, how I was truly blessed.
Continue traditions, no matter how small.
Go on with your life, just don't stare at the wall.
I miss you all dearly, so keep up your chin.
Until the day comes, we're together again.
Let's join together in prayer. Eternal God, you are the creator and the giver of life. In Jesus Christ, you have given us a new life which nothing can destroy. In the resurrection of Jesus, you've shown us that the grave is not the end, for your love holds us through all things. We thank and praise you for this hope. Hope not based on vain or wishful thinking, but on the message of Easter and on the life-giving power of your Spirit at work in your people through Jesus Christ, the life and the hope of the world. So we thank you, loving God, for the gift of life. Today we thank you for the life of Gladwin and all that he was. We thank you for our memories of him, which we can keep as a source of comfort and continuing thankfulness. We thank you for those aspects of his life that meant so much to us. By your grace, help us this day to commit him into your hands. And as we do, grant us your peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught his friends to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's join in hymn number 675, Will Your Anchor Hold?
Clouds unfold, their wings outstretched.
God, only you are immortal, the creator of all. We're mortal, formed of the earth, and to the earth we shall return. This you ordained when you created us, saying you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us become dust, yet even at the grave we make our song and we sing alleluia. So give rest, O Christ, to your servant with all the saints, where there is neither pain nor sorrow nor sighing, but only life everlasting. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Gladwin. Acknowledge, we humbly pray, a sheep of your fold, a lamb of your flock, a sinner of your redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, and into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, into the glorious company of the saints in the light. And keep him there until the time when we're all reunited, brothers and sisters, when every tear shall be wiped away. Amen. I'd like to, before I pronounce the blessing, offer an invitation. We have refreshments available in the church hall, and I hope you can join me there as we can continue our conversation about our brother Gladwin. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you all peace. Amen.
Please rise.